Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
All right, folks, welcome in to Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports. I'm your host, Ryan Blackburn, at NBA Blackburn on Twitter, part of the Mile High Sports Podcast Network, and we are here weekends with Swipe Edition. Yeah, it might be a Monday. It might be a little off on our general schedule. We had some things come up, but that's okay. Swipe is here. He is dancing in the back. Swipe, how you doing, my guy?
I'm right, man. Great. Great start to the week. Denver Nuggets got another home game tonight. They're coming off a four-game winning streak. Psych, almost. Almost a four-game winning streak. But, you know, it's going to be a great week. Got a lot of great basketball, a lot of great games coming up. And, yeah, you know, I think this is going to be, as I predicted, once the Nuggets went 14-9, they were going to start streaking and going on the run. And here they are. They're already 3-1.
We will see what happens. I think that this last loss kind of took a little bit out of the sails there, where they're like, okay, you know what? We were close, but there are still some things that we have to work on. There are still some things that we have to accomplish and make sure that the details are in order. And I think that we both kind of got that sense being at the game on Saturday. So if you're in the chat, make sure to hit that like button, hit that subscribe button to the show. Would really appreciate all the love and support. Obviously on the podcast. Obviously, I know this is an abnormal recording time, so we will do our best in the future. Just both had some things that are popping up that did pop up this weekend. So no worries on that one. Swipe, but let's chat about the game on Saturday, though. Let's chat about this one. We'll spend that time in the first segment. I've got a nice game that we're gonna play in segment two called Real or Not Real. And then in the third segment, we will go over the future and look into, all right, when is Denver going to kind of lock into this higher gear that I think you're referencing here? Because I do have some questions about that. But first, give me your first initial thoughts from the game on Saturday night against the OKC Thunder, where Denver loses by one.
Shade Gilgeous-Alexander is the man, and he's going to be first team All-NBA again. And respect to him, I used to trade for Shade on 2K when you were still able to. This is when Shea was about like an 87 overall rating, and you could get him for a fairly low price on NBA 2K because they didn't value his skill set like I did. And I would pair him next to Jamal Murray to give us the all-Canada background. Oh, Canada. I wanted it all. And then obviously he turns into what he is now, which is a burgeoning MVP. I mean, he's an MVP caliber player, but like I think MVP caliber player as in like one of the ones you can depend off no matter what, any playoff setting, any team. You basically feel good with him going into a series versus anybody other than maybe Joker, Giannis, and we'll see if Steph has a resurgence, and maybe like LeBron or something like that. I think he's, you know, slowly moving into that Tatum tier, but, you know, I think he obviously needs to prove himself a little bit more. I think he's peaked higher than Tatum in a regular season so far, but I think obviously Tatum had just a whole everything in his career he's done. But Chet was incredible, 9 blocks. You know, Jay Will, the wing Jay Will, he was incredible, 24 points, really efficient. And then Jay Will off the bench had 3 threes in the first half that really kept him in the game. So there's just a lot of things, man. Just shout out to OKC. Marcus is an extremely good coach. They played their butts off. And the Nuggets, again, they were up 8 with 3 minutes left, basically. And they went on a 7-0 run. And then the Nuggets, you know, as everybody knows, when they get up a lot of points, they start trolling a little bit. They'll just not, like, play as sharp. And they did that to the wrong team, and they snuck up on them. And then that last set that y'all, you know, I'm just now I'm just now getting used to having press credentials, you know, because Ryan, you know, Mr. Ryan Chartburg, you know, called out personally by Michael Malone and Jamal Murray, like, Ryan, what's the minutes distribution say? You know, they look for Ryan and his guidance and some of that stuff. And we were having a conversation with one of our esteemed colleagues in the back, and it was just really a shouting match between.
Yes, it was.
Between Ryan and somebody else about why the second to last possession for the Nuggets didn't work. And again, man, you know, they had Peyton Watson and Christian Brown and AG out there, and the spacing was all over the place. But, you know, two, I think that the Nuggets are still on their own ends in working out some kinks in their armor. And but again, I think that's just all just preparing them for what they're doing the rest of the year. And like I said, OKC earned that. The Nuggets didn't give it away. OKC earned that victory. And that's honestly the first time in a home loss that I can say that they did that, maybe since, I mean, I don't even know, bro, because even in the playoffs, that Heat game in the finals when they won, they shot 49% from three. And the Nuggets, remember that fourth quarter, just started at the top of the fourth quarter, they couldn't get any of those little screens, those curl screens they were doing on the side, right? And then they were just kind of giving up layup after layup or wide open three-pointer. But I think this is the last time I can say, like, the Nuggets at home just legitimately just got beat.
Yes, this is – it's important to make that distinction, right? Like, I think against Houston, Jokic obviously in a funk in that first half, and then Denver playing in a funk in that first half. And then they figured some things out and went on a big run at the end of that Houston game, but ultimately it didn't work out. This one, the Thunder were competing with Denver throughout this one, and they never let Denver kind of off the leash, if you will, where Denver, like, sometimes, especially when they're at home, other teams will make mistakes. Other teams will be a little bit lax. They'll make odd plays, and Denver will capitalize on that, especially in transition. I thought that the Thunder, extremely well-coached team, like you said, Mark Daigneault, he deserves a ton of credit. He's probably the coach of the year right now. And there are there's a lot of credit that they deserve for continuing to improve their team, and as a young team stepping up to the Giants and being like, hey, we are here too, we are ready, we are good. And that was mostly my takeaway, was that this was more about the Thunder than it was about the Nuggets. Like, if you ask me, is Denver gonna have this happen to them again? Probably not. Like, KCP will be back in those future situations. Denver will manage their timeouts better, and they'll make sure to get Michael Porter and KCP back on the floor at the end of a close game, so you don't get the spacing issues like you had on the final. Right. Jamal Murray will hit his threes. He went 0 of 6, and that was important.
He's been better from three, really, on an efficiency standpoint than he has been from two to start this year so far.
Yeah, it's been odd. Like, I actually have a question about that in the second segment that we'll talk about, but Chet bothered Denver. I see in the box score they actually took away one of his blocks.
Yeah, they did. What are they doing?
With eight blocks. I'm not surprised. Like, generally, scorekeepers will go back and look through the tape, and they'll see, hey, this actually wasn't one, and we credited one because of the angle, but, like, you actually look at it, and it wasn't bothering.
Well, they didn't get Peyton Watson his SGA block either.
Yeah, like, I mean, there's a lot that you kind of go through, and people – They'll just do anything now. They'll say anything. They'll do anything. But look, I think that OKC is an elite team. I just think that they are. I think that just through talking with folks via the alley-oop, with talking through a bunch of these different aspects of this early season, like, I think OKC has proven themselves to be here. Like, they're ready. This is not necessarily something that we foresaw at the beginning of the year, but I think that they're just better than people expected. And I'm not surprised that they beat Denver when Denver wasn't at full strength.
Do you think OKC? Do you think that they're maybe top 14, like maybe semifinals, like,
overall
in the West? Yeah,
like, oh, in semifinals, the West, yeah.
In the West should be about.
They
should be comfortable with.
I think that everybody can comfortably cross off Golden State from all those conversations. And I think Golden State was one of those teams that people would have had in the top four prior to the season. I think you've got
the Thunder beat the Clippers right now with how well the Clippers are playing.
Oh, that's a great question, because Thunder are figuring some stuff out, but OKC actually would bother them with some of the drives that they have. Where I mean,
they would have nobody to guard the Clippers' best assets, which is their wings and even their guard. I mean, Shea's obviously like a good defender, but I mean,
you don't think that Dort could do anything to Harden?
Harden? Sure, but then you're still leaving a Paul George and the Kawhi Leonard effect out of there because Dort's too small for Kawhi.
Yeah, I think that Shea
can guard. In respect, I stood next door to Lou and we went on the court and I'm like, yeah, I mean, he's probably like 2.5 inches taller than me. I see Kawhi. Kawhi's legit 6'8". You know, so it's a big dude.
No, it's fair. It's fair. And there's questions there. I think Jalen Williams, wing J-Dub, would be the guy that they'd probably throw on him. But you need another body. And that would be a tough matchup for them for that reason. But, I mean, do they have anybody that can slow down Shea? Like, yeah, not really.
They do. Did you see Kawhi Leonard guarding Steph Curry? We're presuming obviously health and all that stuff. Here's the thing. I'll give Kawhi a little bit of a boost here. He's actually been really freaking good defensively this year. And I think so is Paul George for the most part. And I think if you say like in a series, who can guard the other's best skill set better? Clippers can guard the OKC skill set better, then I think they can do it other. But again, I'm not picking the series. I just think that would be like a really fun matchup to watch.
Yeah, and then you've got the Lakers' size would present some issues for them as well, despite the fact that, I mean, Shea would flambé their perimeter defense. Like, he would absolutely eviscerate that.
Wouldn't quite do what Jamal Murray did, but yeah.
Well, there's levels to this, obviously. So, I think that's it's a fair question, and Minnesota's in there somewhere, obviously.
Imagine Austin Reeves on isolation in the fourth quarter with Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
Oh, my God. Shea is just licking his lips at that, just trying to figure out how am I going to score.
And then Chet's spacing, too, if he's able to hit a couple threes here and there, like he did in the fourth quarter.
Chet was really impressive. Like, he is – I think the best thing I could say about Chet is that he's fearless. There was a poster that Jamal Murray had on him in the first quarter, lefty going down the lane when they're playing zone, and he was late rotating over, and Jamal got him. It was great. Mm-hmm. It was one of the actually Jamal had a better finishing game inside the arc for once this season. But Chet came back and he blocked 8 shots. Like even with the fear of like, hey, maybe I'm getting dunked on. Maybe this is a problem. Maybe this could happen. But it just doesn't matter to him. And I don't think it computed that, like, hey, I've still got to jump. I've still got to be the rim protector. And I think that's going to really help them both in the regular season and in a playoff context where he's not going to back down from somebody like an Anthony Davis or a Nikola Jokic, I don't think. Now, he may not succeed, but he's not going to back down. And I think that so much of what AD does specifically is cause people fear with his rim protection and his style.
It's so funny to see Mark Daigneault deploy the two big lineup. He didn't even come out. Remember, Giddey started the first half, didn't even play with it. Like, all right, you know, they put both Jay Wills on the court, and then they put Chet, and then they had, like, they're both floor spacers too, but obviously none of them, you know, Chet's a very good defender, not necessarily a body defender, you know, for Joker, obviously. But it was just funny watching them deploy like a playoff kind of variation of what they would do in this game. And I wouldn't say it worked. I think it wasn't working until it worked, right? It just like it didn't work defensively, but I think offensively they started hitting some of their shots. But yeah, man, I'm really excited to see what OKC does. That's why I said I wouldn't even like – I mean, I'm literally at the game. You know, the Nuggets missed that shot on a bad possession. SGA gets the ball, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I know what's coming. He's going to get to the free throw line. He's going to be able to turn over the shoulder. He's probably going to hit it. And wasn't upset at all when he made that shot.
I'm not concerned. Like, great players make great plays, like you said. And he made a great play. And Denver didn't make their great plays. And I think that's probably, I think, emblematic of where Denver's at. They're not at peak form right now. And they don't have to be at peak form right now. But there are, I think, questions as to when they get there. Not if they can. I think we all know that they can. But there's questions on when and how soon and what it's going to look like when they get there. And if that peak level is going to be at NBA championship caliber level again, we'll just have to wait and see. We're going to have to figure it out.
And, you know, Grace, always a fan, obviously big fan of the show, worried about the Nuggets not getting the number one seed and all that stuff because of the bench, which I think is very true. Like, I think that's very true. I would also say, Grace, I would go back to look at some of those LeBron years. Like, they didn't always get the first seed. But a lot of that was just because – and they always, honestly, didn't look good in the regular season. They were going to be a four seed sometime. And then they would end up playing the Raptors in the first round who won, you know, basically 60 games or second round. They obliterate them. But I think that's just what it is. It's like, even LeBron at his apex, like, there are just levels to how – well, they'll function in a regular season setting, given the team and all that. I think the Nuggets, they're going to get there. I still think the Nuggets are arguably going to finish with the first or second seed. Now, they're going to have to pick that up with the first seed, but the second seed for sure. I think a lot of this is that the Nuggets, because of injuries, they've had Jamal for 12 games. KTP wasn't there. AG has missed a couple here and there. And then they're just, like, getting people used to the rotation. They're just not as sharp as they were last year. But, again, I think some of this, even the numbers with the starters on the court, they still were being supplemented with, like, Jeff Green and Bruce Brown. So I do think that's a part of why the starters haven't been as dominant so far. It's just because I think things are so new and they're still getting used to playing with each other. And then when they have played with each other, Ryan, they've been kind of spotty. I mean, again, the first nine games of the year, they were blowing people out.
Yeah.
But then I think as the year went on, things just got a little bit more difficult. And so that's kind of changed how they played. But so – you know, I still think they're going to turn out, obviously, to be the best starting five in basketball. But, I mean, look at Boston. Boston's, their numbers are great, but they also have some really kind of bonehead performances this year, even in games they've won where they've just kind of cratered offensively, just shooting way too many three-pointers, too many guys that are jacking up their own shot, not enough ball movement. So that's what I'm saying. If compared to the Nuggets to everybody else, I mean, the Nuggets are in a really good place.
Yeah, they're still okay. And I'm just looking at different numbers here. Denver, through the first however many games that they've played, 27, has played 14 teams in the top 10 defensively so far this year. Like, their schedule has been tough. And it's not just, like, I think Denver's offense, or, like, their defense is a little bit propped up by the schedule as well, just based off of what we've seen. But, like, they're still in a good place. I do not want to dispel that in any way, shape, or form. I don't want to cause controversy or anything like that, because, oh man, I'm gonna sit here and say, oh my gosh, they're not good enough. I think they're good enough. I think that Denver, they've still got some kinks to figure out. That's probably where it's best to describe it. All right, Peyton Watson, by the way, really good in that game. It's unfortunate that he got scored on that last bucket, because he was really good in the first half. He got kind of fouled out, but that's the one final note that I really wanted to make here.
No, Peyton was incredible. His finishing, he was carrying the bench start second quarter. I think five straight points for him. When he attacks the rim, like, I think that's going to be a skill set, getting to the basket and getting to the free throw line and then making spot up jumpers. If he's able to do that, then Peyton, he becomes like a very valuable player in the league.
I've got another question for you about him in the second segment when we come back. We will be back. We've got some good stuff here. But first, everybody, did you know that this podcast is brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports? You can win a trip to the biggest football game of the year courtesy of Superbook. They will fly you and a friend to Las Vegas for February's championship game, and they will give you two tickets and a three-night hotel stay. All you have to do is place a $25 same-game parlay between now and January 7th, and you'll be automatically entered to win. So wager and win a super trip courtesy of Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. We'll be right back on Weekends with Swipe Up. And we're back. Pickaxe and Roll, Ryan Blackburn here. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. Appreciate all the love and support on the podcast. As always, if you can, leave a like and subscribe to the YouTube channel. We're continuing to see a lot of growth on the YouTube channel. It's been a lot of fun working with Swipe on this channel and then having a good time with the MHS crew. Really appreciate everybody who's involved. All right, Swipe, I floated a game to you and wanted to describe that to the audience here real quick. This is the title of the thumbnail on this particular video, Real or Not Real. I was previously watching the prequel to Hunger Games called The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. And for those that are, I saw it not this weekend, but last weekend with my brother.
Yeah, I need to go see that.
It was pretty good. It's long though. It's a long movie.
I love long. I'm a long movie guy. Any movie just 2.5-3 hours that I know is gonna pop, I'm in there with a bag of candy. I'm locked in.
Oh man, I had Reese's all ready to go. It was great. It was very, very fun. But we had a good time. And if you recall, in the Hunger Games series, in the third movie, Katniss and PETA, they play this game called Real or Not Real to try to get PETA to try to remember his life and figure out what's going on. So we're going to play Real or Not Real here with the Nuggets. We are going to do, I'm going to share some things. I'm going to share these stats or these statements, and you are going to tell me, is this going to continue?
Are these Nuggets related stats?
These are Nuggets related stats.
You're ready for 100% grade.
Oh, it's going to be great. Or are these going to continue, or are they going to change at some point? Okay. The first one, Joel Embiid is leading the NBA in several advanced metrics right now. Is this real or not real?
As in true, or will it continue?
No, will it continue?
Yeah. He will. He's gonna come down, obviously, because it's juiced up by his schedule. But yeah, I think he'll be leading a few at the end of the year for sure.
He has a 2-point advantage right now over Jokic in EPM, which I was shocked by when I saw it. Because that's one that Jokic has always led. It's one that he's always been at the top of the levels in, and it's very different. It's very odd. We have obviously gone back and forth about this offline, and Swipe was pretty mad at me for saying that Embiid has had a better season so far than Jokic.
Not mad, you're just wrong.
Embiid has had a better statistical season than Nikola Jokic so far.
Ryan's looking at a couple advanced stats, which our good friend Andy Bailey compiles all of them. We see where it is. But
I think it's
net
important.
Rating, by the way, on court net rating.
I think that through 25, 27 games, however many of these guys have played, which also is another thing that Embiid has missed a few games and he sat out intentionally in a couple of them just to make sure. And they're tough games. Like, they are the games that technically you are supposed to sit if you are trying to maximize the schedule and the record for the Philadelphia 76ers. But look, I don't think he's the MVP. I think you can make an argument for Shea, if we're being honest. I think that between those three guys, is going to come down to an interesting MVP race. And I guess you could throw Giannis in there for a top four if you're privy to that. But no, I think Embiid, like, his numbers are going to be pretty high. And Nuggets fans, I think, are going to have to accept that. Like, I think he's in a great place with Tyrese Maxey setting him up versus Harden.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think we all will live in a world we would love to see Embiid be a back-to-back MVP. So he's playing really well this year.
Yeah, no, we've talked about this. I would love to see it for obvious reasons, because you just know it's going to come crashing down at some point. Like, it will. It will. It's gonna be funny. Okay. Real or not real, Peyton Watson has become the seventh man for the Nuggets in the last 8 games by minutes per game. It's like 20 minutes per game. He is ranked seventh in the Nuggets rotation in terms of minutes. Is this real or not real?
So this doesn't include Jamal Murray because of the injuries?
It does include Jamal.
So over Christian?
Yes. He has played more minutes than Christian Brown.
He's a more dynamic defender than Christian Brown is. And Michael Malone loves defense. So I think it's real. I think Christian ends up playing more as the season goes on. But I think Peyton Watson has just shown to some chagrin of certain people that he is just a legitimately terrific defender. And as soon as he figures out, like, just offensively what he's supposed to be doing consistently, it's going to be an absolute nightmare. And it's not that his defense is overrated. Like, he legitimately is a really, really, really good defender. And even when he's out of position, he still can get in position because of his physicality and all that stuff. So I think it's real, but I also don't think he's going to finish with more minutes than Christian Brown on the year.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if he did personally. But if we just go through some of the numbers here, I'm going to cycle through EPM, and we are going to see where he is at. You may have this off the top of your head. Oh, no, I found him.
Like a plus 3.4 or something?
Oh, no, it's plus 1.3, but I think he is the highest of any Nugget right now. And he is smack dab between Mikal Bridges and Kelly Oubre. And the next one below that is Brook Lopez. So that should show people, like, he has been a dynamic defender. He has been a really, really good defender. Ranked currently 51st in defensive EPM, which part of that is just, like, he's only 21 years old. It's very rare for somebody that young to actually be that good defensively. Especially on the wings, where it's just not something that you see. So as he continues to grow, I really do believe you that he is going to become Denver's best defender, and Denver's going to have to find more opportunities to play him. Like, they just are. And it's probably not as a starter until, like, maybe a couple of years down the road. But I do think that he's going to be one of those guys that you might see some rapid development here.
Well, I said on draft night when he got to Denver that there is a route for him to become the best Denver Nuggets defender since Marcus Camby 06-07, just because he has all the physical capability. So, you know, I really feel like I've been on this train since last, you know, what was that, two Junes ago when he first joined the team and everything. So everything is there for him. Like, I'm just incredibly high on this game. So we'll definitely see how he continues to ascend.
We will see whether we will see whether they can actually make that happen. I do think that the positionality actually does matter. Like, he's 6'8". He has the versatility to play the 3 and the 4 a little bit more than Christian Brown does. Christian Brown's been playing the 3 mostly for Denver, but he'll slide up to the 2 sometimes. Peyton Watson being able to play the 4 and allowing Denver some flexibility with Michael Porter and Aaron Gordon and sliding Aaron Gordon to the 5. That's an important thing. So I'm curious to see how it goes now. It's going to be fascinating. All right. Real or not real? Aaron Gordon is shooting 80% from the free throw line in his last 4 games. Is that real?
Yeah, it's real because again, I said this multiple times that if he starts off that bad, he's going to have a run where he's going to go over 80%, and it's going to balance out his shots over the next, you know, month or so. He's 12 of 15 in this last 4 games. I've been tracking this very intently because I've been waiting for it to turn around. And again, a lot of Aaron Gordon stuff is the hitch. When he's not shooting confident, it's a he gets the ball up and then over. But when he's shooting confident, it's all in one motion. And everything has kind of changed over the last week or so. And he just feels like more himself. So he's shooting better from the field. He's shooting better from the free throw line.
On the season, he's still only 55.7%, but it is trending up. And that is good to see. Denver needs that as they continue to get deeper and deeper into the regular season here. They just need Aaron Gordon. Like, I remember at the beginning of the playoffs last year, he was shooting like 90% from the free throw line. It was very impressive. Like, through the first 2.5 series, basically, he was making all his shots. He was very focused. He was very locked in. Slowed down after that, to be clear. But it was very important for him to get off to a great start and be confident and willing to get to the line. Because like what we've talked about, he's at his best when he's downhill. He's at his best when he's really crashing the glass and being physical and getting involved and being unafraid to go to the free throw line. So that would be super helpful. Real or not real? Jamal Murray's stats are basically the same. They're basically the same. If you look through the first 13 games that he's played so far, they are basically identical to last year. Is that real or not real?
Like, they're basically the same as last year?
Yeah, so if I go through them.
I mean, his efficiency is worse and his points are down, his rebounds are down.
Let me go per 36. Per 36, last year points 21.9, this year 22.3. Last year's assists 6.8, this year 7.4. Last year's rebounds 4.3, this year 3.9. Field goal percentage, 45.4 versus 45.5. 3-point percentage, 39.8 versus 41.4. That's a tangible difference, but the 2-point percentage, 49.4 versus 47.9, it's a little bit down there.
39?
49.4 in 2023 versus 47.9 in 2024.
What's his free throw?
It's actually 91.7 right now. Yeah. He has been great from the free throw line. He's 33 of 36 overall.
Gosh, bro, such a relief. Like, him and KCP are like the only ones. I'm like, all right. Okay.
Denver's going to, like, by hook or by crook, they are going to get their free throw percentage up because it is currently at 30%, or it's 30th in the NBA. But it is actually trending higher than where it was. And this last game, I think, was a big deal there.
So real or not real, our number, can they stay the same?
Yeah.
No, they're going to go up. I remember last year, again, I always just last year, Jamal Murray last 40 games of the year, I believe, it was like 23, 4.5, and 6. 41% from 3. I want to say like 88% from the line. I want to say dang near 50% from 2, if not a little bit higher. So he just does that. Like, he just, as the season goes on, he just goes like this, like this, like this, and then he gets to the playoff. So this is Jamal Murray's trend. Another slow Jamal Murray season. We're getting up there. Okay. Streaking, and then playoff him.
Yeah.
He just takes off like the, you know, NASA. So, no, I think his numbers are going to get much better as the year goes on.
Thank you for not comparing him to Elon. I appreciate that. I think that's Murray at this point, like, it is always weird, especially his first like 15 to 20 games or so are always weird. And he has like some of the numbers that he's had, like he has been affected by, he left with 10 minutes in a game, like so far. And then he left with 22 minutes multiple times. So some of the numbers are a little bit depressed in those particular games. When he does play 30 minutes, I think it's way better. I could actually check those splits right now. Although that's probably not super important, but when he does play a significant number of minutes, it's generally better. Here we go. When Murray plays 30 plus minutes, he's at 19 points, 7.8 assists, but his true shooting percentage is actually 53%, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. The 3-point shooting is pretty good. Like, it's 43.6. Field goal percentage is 39.2, which if you can see that I think shows a drastic effect to the 2-point percentage. But that is only a 6-game sample size. So we don't have to really get into that too much, but he's at 6 games where he's played 20 to 29 minutes, 6 games where he's played 30 to 39. These numbers will naturally start to go up as the season goes on because of that, but we'll see where it goes from here.
Yeah.
Number 5, and we'll finish with this one. Nikola Jokic is truding. Oh God. Nikola Jokic's true shooting percentage, good Lord. It is under 64% for the first time since the 2019-20 season.
Two games.
At 61.1%. Is that real or
no? No, it's not real. No, it's two games. Okay. It's two games. It's a 61 right now.
Yeah.
It was at a 60.2 after the Houston game. So no, absolutely not. It was a 64.5. Remember, it was a 69 when he was averaging 27 to start the year off. Then it dropped to a 64, and then two games it dropped to a 60. So no, absolutely not. But you know what? It's people are, you know, getting their little laughs and all that stuff. No, that's just not. No, absolutely not. No, it's not going to say that. No.
Now I will say, he does have a 26 game sample size, so I don't want to just sit here and be like, okay, one game doesn't affect it that much. Now 9 of 32 is historically bad for him. And that probably is going to affect the numbers for sure in that case. But I'd still like to see him continue to dominate in the efficiency columns. I think that would definitely help. And it is one of the things that props up Denver's offense. And it's probably one of the reasons why they haven't been as potent of an offense this year, among other reasons. Like, Murray's not necessarily at his best right now. Jokic is 3 to 5% worse than he probably is last year at this time. And like, there are some other kind of extenuating circumstances within the rest of their offense that have limited them. So I do think that he needs to get back to form. I think Murray needs to get back to form. And like, if they do, then they're going to be just fine. But that's one of the defining factors of Denver, right? Is that they have the best two-man game in the league. They got the best two-man unit in the league. And if they don't have that, then kind of opens up the door for other teams to be successful.
So since that Rockets game, so the Rockets and Clippers game is the one that he kind of tanked on. So since that game, Joker has a 69.4 true shooting since that.
Okay.
So
back to normal.
That's what I mean. It's like, it was like legitimately, bro, it might have been like a 50 or a 40, a 48 true shooting. I think it was for those two games that he had. So,
it wouldn't surprise me. Like, if it was worse than that, because like, it was historically bad. Like, that was like, they're comparing him to Joe Fulks over at DNVR. Like, it was pretty funny. No, he'll be fine. He'll be okay. Real quick, we don't really have time for a third segment, so let's go over next week's schedule here, or actually tonight. Like, tonight, Denver's playing Dallas. It's not even next week. It's this week. Monday versus Dallas. Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, they go on a 3-game road trip at Toronto, at Brooklyn, and then back to back at Charlotte. You and I both correctly predicted 3-1 last week. Where do you see them this week?
KCP's back tonight. If all starters are healthy, they're going 4-0. If they miss KCP or Jamal, because they have a back-to-back Friday, Saturday, we'll probably go 3-1 if they're missing one of those. So I would say the one they most likely could lose, that Raptors game, just because it's a funky Toronto, being in Toronto versus the Link, would be the game. I would say 3-1, but I would say they could go 4-0. Everybody's healthy, but 3-1, I think, is the probably the next possibility.
Yeah, KCP questionable tonight. He should play. I don't think that they make him questionable at this point if they, because they had him out for the previous game. So I think he'll be back. Aaron Gordon probable. Yeah, I think there are actually three dangerous games there: Dallas, at Toronto, and at Brooklyn. Brooklyn, just because Brooklyn lost here and they're going to try to get their revenge, and they'll probably play a little bit smarter, a little bit better this next time around against Denver. Toronto, because they're just weird. And when they play, like when those two teams play, Toronto does a really good job of attacking the gaps and attacking the paint. So I'd be kind of shocked if that game wasn't close. But we'll see. We will see with that one. Dallas tonight, I'm curious about. Like, Luka has been unbelievable, and he hasn't played great against Denver, but I still think he could certainly win the game by himself.
Well, respect Peyton Watson defense on Luka Doncic and Aaron Gordon. And again, that's what I'm actually really excited for, is that the features of this Nuggets team, KCP, Aaron Gordon, Peyton Watson, Christian Brown, I mean, they're probably more dynamic defensively this year than they were last year. But I think their offense is what's going to take a little bit more time to figure out. But again, man, you know, I'm really excited. Like I said, it should be a really good week. They got Doncic. They got future possible Warrior Pascal Siakam, is what they're begging for right now. Mikal Bridges and the rest of that roster. And then they get to play Charlotte. And Charlotte, you know, good young talent, but that should not be a super close game. But, you know, we'll see.
We'll see. That's second night of a back-to-back, so you just never know. Tonight, Dallas has Derek Lively out, Maxi Kleber out, and Rashawn Holmes as questionable. Their only other bigs are Markieff Morris and Dwight Powell.
Does Luka play tonight? Because he's not injury designation, but they're without Kyrie.
Yeah, he'll play and he'll get some numbers. But this is, I mean, actually, yeah, now that I see the injury report here, if Denver doesn't win this game, then I'd be pretty disappointed in them. Jokic should put up 30, 15, and 15 tonight. Like, that should be the baseline.
Depends how close the game is.
I mean, even then, like he should be putting Dwight Powell underneath the stanchion.
Well, his shot profile has actually changed the last four games. He's actually shooting less than he was. I think mm-hmm. he's kind of reverted more to last year's format.
Yeah. No, and like this should be the right time. Dwight Powell can't guard him. He just has to get into the middle of the floor. There should be a lot of confidence for Joker. And that should be what Murray's trying to do. That should be what everybody's trying to do, is set up Joker in the middle of the plant, in the paint, and he will be just fine. So we will see what happens. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Oh, man. Healthy week for everybody. Let's hope.
Healthy week for everybody would be great. Christmas is coming up, folks. I don't know whether Swipe and I are going to record on Christmas Eve, because the Denver has that game on Saturday, so it might not be the worst idea to
Christmas Eve. They play Saturday. They play Warriors on Christmas.
They play the Warriors on Christmas.
The Ravens play the San Francisco 49ers Christmas as well. That's gonna be a great night.
Oh man, that's my Christian McCaffrey MVP agenda. That's gonna be fantastic.
I mean, him, Lamar, and Brock Purdy, all three of them.
I love it. I love it. Lamar's great, has been great for my fantasy team, despite my fantasy team sucking.
So. Oh, by the way, he carried me to another victory. Second round of the playoffs coming up next weekend, and I'm advantaging that matchup. Look, bro, two straight to get into the playoffs, win in the first round versus the highest scoring team in our league history. Let's get it. Debo Samuel, by the way. Let's go.
I love it. Folks, that is going to do it for this episode of Pickaxe and Roll Weekends with Swipe Edition. Thank you so much for tuning in. Swipe and I will probably be back on Sunday morning. I have to imagine Christmas Eve. We'll see whether they can actually, like, we can make that schedule work. But because of Christmas, schedules might be weird next week, so we'll let you know about that. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button down below. Really appreciate all the love and support. We'll talk to you guys very soon.